Younger Americans are moving away from the concepts of home ownership and even having their own cars. People share jobs, cars, clothes. So many things can simply be rented now. Does this signal the end of ownership, or at least a road that'll lead us to that? That's the basis of the book. In fact, the title of the book, The End of Ownership, co-written by Case Western Reserve University law professor Aaron Perzanowski, and he's with me. Aaron, is our jumping-off point for this conversation about millennials who don't want to own houses or cars and who just want to share?
So I think that is one manifestation of this broader trend where we see people moving away from sort of traditional forms of ownership towards more kind of temporary and attenuated access to a whole range of resources. So the shift towards renting rather than buying homes is a piece of this puzzle. The shift towards, you know, ride-sharing programs like Uber and Lyft, I think, is another example of this trend. But I think it's a much deeper and much broader phenomenon than just those handful of examples.
When you say something is broader, take us into the world that you've looked into.
So my interest in this set of questions really started around questions of digital media ownership. So we saw the shift away from hardcover books towards ebooks and from CDs and records to MP3 files and now streaming subscription services like Apple Music and Spotify. The questions there for me really centered around what's the legal status of the consumer's relationship with these digital goods that they're acquiring? Do they have the same sorts of rights to lend those items to friends, to resell them the way that we sell, you know, used books and used records? So that was kind of my entry point to this set of questions. And once I started thinking about things from that perspective, I saw the same basic set of changes in relationships really manifest in a whole range of markets for goods and services.
Are we in a circumstance where maybe, this won't apply to all consumers in this case, but where some consumers are thinking, okay, this is good, I don't really want to own, and I want to also be more of a person of the world and share and not have so many possessions, but when it comes down to actual legal rights, when it comes to digital property or other things, there have to be some things in place to make sure that, you know, we can't necessarily live in a, what I'm going to describe as more of a Pollyanna-ish world. You still have to have these things in place because there are going to be some people who do want ownership.
So I think that's a really important point. Different consumers have different preferences. They have different preferences at different times during their life. They have different preferences when it comes to different sorts of not only media, but other kinds of goods that they might be interested in acquiring. So you might have a person who really doesn't care at all about owning a home they're happy to rent, or they don't care at all about owning a movie collection. But it is important to them that, you know, they own their vehicle, for example. So I think it's crucial that we have a marketplace that affords consumers the opportunity to make those sorts of choices. And one of the things I think we're starting to see is a situation in which those choices are being reduced. So we see certain kinds of products that are only being offered under one particular transactional model. So certain software programs, for example, that you used to be able to go out and buy a copy of. You would have, you know, the disk that would sit in your desk drawer are now only available on a monthly subscription basis. So there we're seeing choices being taken away from consumers rather than giving them additional options.
I think there are some people who in the U.S. will say that we have too many choices now as it is. So could limiting our choices be a good thing in some sense?
So I think there is a sense in which consumers can become sort of paralyzed by choice, where they can be overwhelmed by a number of options that they can't easily or meaningfully tell the difference between. So I do think there's an important value in making sure that there's a limited number of options on the table and that those options are very clear for consumers. Right now, I think one of the biggest problems is that consumers don't fully understand the set of choices that they're facing. They might think that they're engaging in a purchase where they're buying a product or, gaining some sort of meaningful long-term ownership interest when in fact that's not the case. That I think is a point that requires some real focus and some real clarification, especially while we're in this sort of transitional period where a lot of these new arrangements are still unfamiliar to consumers.
Is any of this about how it's more difficult for people to get access to cash? How much of it do you think is an attitude shift, and how much of it is based on what the reality of life is these days? And maybe there's no reason to have ownership quite to the same degree because I'm not going to be able to do exactly what maybe the previous generation did. So I'll try this sort of different way about it. Coming back to the initial question, is a practical access to funds?
So I think both of those factors are incredibly important in explaining this shift. I'm not confident that I can sort of, you know, give a percentage degree of influence between the two, but I think you're absolutely right that for, you know, not just folks that fall into the sort of millennial generation, but across the board economically in this country, it has become increasingly difficult for folks to make the same sorts of purchasing decisions that their parents and their grandparents did. You can look at the numbers that show that young people are delaying these major purchasing decisions, whether it's buying their first new car or buying their first home, and say, oh, well, that shows they don't value ownership anymore. Perhaps there's a sort of attitudinal shift that has gone on, but I think a big part of the explanation is that younger people are simply not in a financial position to make those same sorts of choices because the kinds of opportunities that have been built into our economy in past generations, I think, are much harder to come by for young people. And perhaps in that process, they realized that owning a home might not be as essential as they once thought it was or as their parents or grandparents believed it to be. So I think those two things sort of feed into one another to a certain extent.
Aaron Perzanowski is co-author of the book, The End of Ownership.